大家早，大家早。thank you for coming to the Sunday talk today, Sunday morning talk, and I will try to have a discussion with all of you about today's topic, which is marriage. Great stuff to talk about. Great stuff to talk about. 所以今天很高兴大家能早上在这边，让我们大家一起来讨论一些话题。那今天我们早上要讨论的话题就是婚姻，婚姻。So before I start, I usually like to know what people want to know about today's topic, so I get to have a better idea where we're going today. So do you have any expectation on what the topic is about, or what do you want to hear?Any expectations? Anyone? Do you have any expectations? Yeah? Okay. You're hoping to hear a Buddhist perspective. Okay. Good. So, 今天我想要知道一下，我通常在开始前我都会想要知道一下大家会对这个话题会有什么看法，或是会有什么想法，或想要听到什么。那刚才有位听众说他想要知道佛法对婚姻的态度是什么，佛法对婚姻的态度是什么。那有没有人有其他的想法或看法？ Anyone else?Do you have?
Just, you just made me think of a question. I mean, I didn't really think of it before, but now that you're asking, it seems like there's something progressive about a marriage. I mean, people sort of are growing in a marriage.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sort of wondering how you sort of aid that process, not push it, but, sort of help it move along.
How do you help a marriage grow better, basically? Good. Sounds good. 那还有其他的看法或想法吗？师兄有吗？没有。啊？啊，这就像我 title 讲的。Okay. So, let me, give a disclaimer before I start. For, usually all my talks are not very Buddhist related. So if you're looking for deep Buddhism, that's not going to happen.So, because I'm not qualified. I don't think I'm qualified to say a lot of Buddhism. To say some, maybe. But I know, I did read what Master Shen Yan said about marriage. So, I can share a little bit what I think I read from him. There are many people who ask Master Shen Yan, if the marriage is not good, what do you do about it? And Sifu said, well, in general,It takes a lot to get married. So if you can, you shouldn't divorce, right? In general, that's the sort of his attitude. However, if one of the spouse is acting very unreasonable or doing things that's just so hard to, revert the situation, then keep staying in the marriage is also a torture. So he would say, if it's that bad, then you shouldn't stay in marriage because that's not compassion either. So that's his sort of general attitude. 所以刚才那个有一位听众问我说，他想要知道佛在这个话题里面有没有什么佛法。那我说我其实佛法认识不是很深，所以我只能讲一点。那我刚才是讲到一下那个师父他对婚姻的看法，那像我就是有稍微看一下师父对婚姻的看法。师父基本上对婚姻的看法是，因为结婚他是需要很多那个，是一个很有姻缘的一个事情，就是有很多缘分放在一起才会结婚，所以能尽量不离是不应该离，应该就是继续怎么样把维持关系，把婚姻维持下去。那除非有一方非常的 非常的就是已经是很难去接，除非有一方是刻意的，或是非常的难去接，难，那个接受度非常难的时候，那两个人待在一个婚姻里是很痛苦的时候，那离婚是可以的，因为这样子对两个人都是很身心是很不好的。So, 师父 also said that the way to work on a marriage is really that before you ask people to change, that's often the most common thing in marriage is you ask another person to change. But before you ask another person to change, you should get to know yourself. Because a lot of time, if you don't even know yourself, it's hard for another person to know you, and it's hard for another person to make changes. So the main sort of the key thing about marriage in Buddhism is that one should have a very good familiarity about oneself through chan practice. And with the chan practice, once you have a better self-understanding, then that will help the marriage, indirectly in that way. 所以师父也说过，那个把婚姻维持更好的一个方法是要一定要禅修，而且禅修的主要用意是先了解自己，因为很多时候在婚姻里我们想要改变别人，但是其实很多时候要先认识自己，了解自己之后，你才有办法让别人多了解你。当别人可以多了解你的时候，你才有机会让互相影响、互相改变。所以这个是一个可能以大意来讲是这样子。那这个大概是我今天要讲的一些大概佛法的部分，可能是主要是这里了。那今天我主要要讲的是以那个一个在我们这一学界很有名的一个大师，婚姻大师的研究，所以这个今天整个过程都是讲一些研究的过程，研究的过程。So today, I'm going to focus on all the datas or the findings of one of the key psychologists. His name is Dr. Gottman, and Gottman, he's very famous for marriage research, and how influential is him in the mental health field. When we ask all the therapists or all the psychologists, write down who they think is the most influential person in the field, Gottman is one of them. Gottman is one of the top 10. 所以今天我要讲的东西是一个心理学家，叫做 Gottman。那他是在我们这个行业是顶尖的一个婚姻的研究者。那我今天会给你很多他研究出来的结果，跟婚姻怎么样维持，婚姻怎么样变好。那他是一个在我们这个学界是一个非常顶尖的人，因为当我们做那个问卷啊，就是几年前我们有这个一个问卷调查，谁是这个行业里的十大心理学家，那他就是其中一个，他就是其中一个。所以今天所有讲的东西都是主要是跟他的研究有关。So I'm gonna move forward quickly. So today I'm gonna talk about three things. The first thing is, what are the predictors of people's divorce? He has a lab. The way he does his research is that he has a marriage lab. And what he does is he invite couples come to his lab and have like a 20 or 30 minutes conversation on a heated topic. On a heated topic. Topic that's like not an easy topic for that couple. And then he observe, right? He record down every single thing you can think of. How they talk to each other, what was their marriage history, even their skin response, physical response, everything you can think of, he will record it down. And from about 650 couples, he probably did observe that many couples, he can figure out certain couples are more likely to divorce than other couples. So there are certain predictors. There are certain predictors that the couples will divorce. So the first thing we will talk about is what are the common predictors of the divorced couple。那第那今天我们要讲的就是 Gottman 他为什么那么有名，是因为他有一个所谓的婚姻研究所，或是婚姻研究室、婚姻实验室。那基本上他就是会请那个夫妻啊，到他的实验室，然后请夫妻差不多讲个二三十分钟，一些他们觉得很棘手的话题，然后在他们讲这些棘手话题之后，他会去记录他们的一切，就是他们的生活举止啊，他们的讲话习惯啊，他们怎么样开场啊，他们怎么样结尾啊，那他会研，然后甚至于他们的生理反应啊，他都把它记录下来。那他研究差不多至少650对夫妻，然后他有看到一些共通点，所以第一个共通点我们要讲的就是，通常会离婚的夫妻，他们有哪一些征兆？And the second thing we want to talk about is based on his observation, he observed that the couples that who stay in marriage and stay happily, the couples who stay in marriage and stay happily, they usually do certain thing. There are certain thing they do based on his observation. 所以第二个我们要讲的就是，他也发觉啊，这个婚姻没良好的夫妻啊，他们通常为什么会在一起，也是因为他们有做了一些事情，那他也是把这个做的事情整理下来，所以这是第二个重点我们要讲的。那通常他最有名的就是有七件事情，有七个重点，通常一对婚姻良好的夫妻都会做得到的，那第三点最后一点就是，通常他也发觉不止那些婚姻良好的夫妻有做到一些该做的事情，他们基本上每个礼拜只花几小时的时间去维持他们的婚姻，所以最后我会讲一下他们那个最后几小时，每个礼拜那几小时都在做什么，这样。So not only he observed that the couples follow certain principle and have a better marriage, he also realized that there are certain things that the couples do, they only do like a few hours a week.Yet only those few hours can keep a marriage grow, So those are the three things I'm going to talk about today. Now, while I'm talking about it, I think since we're a Buddhist community, you can always reflect, does what he say, is it in conflict with Buddhism or is it in accordance with Buddhism?Right, since we're all Buddhist practitioners, and so you can take a look to think about that. Are they in conflict or are they in accordance? That makes sense? 所以其实我们再等一下看一下他讲的这些东西，你就去可以去比较一下，他讲的东西跟我们佛法平常教的东西有没有相似，或是没有，有没有相应或没相应。其实这个蛮有趣的，我有时候看这些科学的数据，再跟我们平常知道了来比较一下，会有一些心得。So, let me just make sure. I have all the antivirus window pops out right now, so. Okay. So the first thing is predictors. What are the predictors? What are the predictors of marriage? There are several.For example, that might be a predictor. I don't know. Do you know who that is? No? Tiger Mom? Miss Charming? No, you don't know? Okay, never mind. That's not a predictor, okay? So, 这个是那个虎妈，我不知道大家还记得虎妈，对对对。这虎妈是没关系的哈。那我来讲一下有几个 predictor。他基本上他发觉那个婚姻不好的夫妻啊，有好几个征兆。第一个征兆就是开场很带刺，每次一讨论事情，那个开场白就不是一个很好的语气。那基本上从他的研究看到，如果你的开场白不好的话，有九成多以上的几率啊，是你的结尾也不是好的结束。So, the very first thing he observed is that the couples who tend to have divorce, when they discuss something, they tend to have a very harsh startup. Yo, Why did you do that today? Right. And he also realized that when you have a harsh startup, 90-some% chance it will end badly as well, based on his observation. So, 第一个, all right, this the Star Wars thing, you know? Yeah, okay. All right. So, 所以第一个很重要, 就是很多夫妻他们开场白都是话中带刺, 或是那个开场白很不友善, 所以这是第一个我们可以学习到的。 那, so, the first thing is, again, harsh startup. So, one thing we can learn from that is, if you say something nicer at the beginning, it might end nicer, just by probability. The second thing is even more famous. This is probably the most famous point. So today, if anything, you should need to remember is what he called the four horsemen of Apocalypse. The four horsemen of Apocalypse. 所以第二个是非第二个证照是更重要的，它叫做四骑士，那个四骑士啊，就是那个我们那个基督教那个好像。 我忘记那个四骑士是哪四个，就什么战争啊，饥饿啊，就是那个所谓的那个，他们叫做apocalypse，就是那个，这叫什么？可能世界末日吧，等等，就是有世界末日会看到一些东西啊。所以婚姻如果要看到婚姻的世界末日的话，有这几样事情会出现哦。The Four Horsemen, very important. The first one is criticism. Usually, when a conversation has criticism, it does not help the marriage. Criticism is very different than complaint. It's okay to complain in a marriage, but criticism is totally different. Criticism is very global. It's a lot more global than complaint. Complaint, what we meant by complaint is more specific, more just focus on certain situation or certain task. So criticism is a very important one. So 第一个歧视是那个批评。那批评跟那个抱怨不同，批评跟抱怨不同。抱怨通常是比较对事，那批评是对人。 所以有时候很多时候我们夫妻在讲话讲事情的时候，尽量对事不要对人。对人是有点说，哎，你怎么总是这样子？就是一个比较笼统的讲法。对事是说你今天做这个事情做得不好，所以这一个是对事是一个对人。So again, the very first one is crucial is learn to complain but not criticize, because criticize is a lot more global and it's a lot more personal, a lot more personal. 那 the second thing is actually out of four, the second one is the worst one, contempt. Contempt. Now, 这四个里面，第二个大概是最严重的，就是有点轻描或是藐视的感觉，就是你在跟你的同修在对话的时候有那种藐视的感觉。 那所谓藐视的感觉是什么呢？ 藐视的感觉就是好像有点几乎是恶心的感觉，我不知道这个翻译对不对啊？恶心，好像我对你很厌恶的感觉。所以在那种讲话的过程中，你如果让你的另外一半觉得你很厌恶他的时候，这是其实一个不管你在讲什么话题啊，你有这种感觉出现的时候，其实那个 谈话都不会长久。The second one is the worst one. It's a contempt. And the best way to explain contempt is a sense of feeling disgust. Like when you're talking to your wife, you feel that your wife is disgust about you, or if you feel your husband's disgust about you, that feels a lot worse. It doesn't matter what the content you're talking about. So it's very subtle, but it's very important. So that's another horseman. And actually that's the worst one out of four. The third one usually follows the first two. Because once you have this criticism, once you have the feeling of contempt, What usually going to happen is the other person will feel defensive. It will feel defensive. And defensiveness in general, we call it like a backward dagger. Defense supposed being defending yourself, but yet when you're defending yourself, the other person will feel that you're criticizing them. Because if you say I'm wrong and I'm saying I'm right, then guess who's wrong? I'm going back to you. Right, so then you heat up the conversation. 所以第三个是防卫，因为当你那个话题啊有个尖锐的开场，然后很多批评，然后有点那种被藐视的感觉的时候，那另外一方的反应就是开始就会防卫了。那当你防卫的时候，所谓的防卫就是开始，哎，你说我错，我没有错。但这样开始的时候，就会让另外批评的人会觉得。哦，你也在批评我了，因为当我说我没有错的时候，也是另外一个方面，也是另外一种方式来批评对方，所以就是开始两边就开始吵起来了。那最后一个就是相应不理了，因为最后因为大家情绪太过度的那个热起来的时候，整个情绪都热起来的时候，你最后就是会整个就是为了不让自己。在被这个整个情绪消耗掉，你就会开始不理，所以这是一个很常见的。So the last one is usually it come out the last because what happened is people will feel exhausted from all those emotions when all those emotions comes in, it's very exhausting. And then what happened is people will just stonewall. So these are the four horsemen. I think it's probably the most important signs, the most popular signs in Gottman's work. The other signs, that's also the other predictors that are also important are several. Another sign is the sense of being flooded. The feeling of being flooded all the time, like every time you speak to this person, you speak to your spouse, you have a sense of being flooded. And the best way to explain the feeling of being flooded is like any little touch, you're like a balloon. You're like a balloon, you know, any little thing touch you, you're gonna explode. That's what flooded mean. And accompanying the flooding, which is more emotional pain, there are also actually physiological signs, such as the heartbeat races a lot faster. In fact, men in general tend to have a lot more physiological signs. So men in marriage tend to have a harder time to deal with conflict because the physiological buildup of men is once you get started, fight or flight is sort of more our nature, so it's harder for the man to calm down, right? So this, and also a few word about physiological effect. The idea of physiological effect and the ideas of the emotional pain are really related. How related are they? Research can show you that, and they use the brain scan. Research can show you that when someone has a physical pain in their body or on their body, it light up a certain area of your brain. And the research can also show you that the emotional pain light up at the same exact spot of where your physiological pain is. So emotional pain and physical pain are both lighting up at the same spot in the brain. So that explains to you both either emotional or physical pain are very important because they all are linked. 所以那个第三跟第四个征兆啊，一个是疲劳轰炸。所谓疲劳轰炸，就是你觉得有点，你随时都是像一个骆驼一样，那个最后一根稻草随时都可以被你压扁了。这是一个被疲劳轰炸的征兆。那疲劳轰炸征兆。那个疲劳轰炸的征兆之外呢，还有一个 你的那个生理反应啊，也会不同。譬如说心跳，心速会加快，或者是那个流汗会加多。那这些生理反应啊，其实它跟心理反应，它们都是很有相关的，它们都很有相关的。那通常男人对这些生理反应会比较敏感一点，因为当你争吵之后，那个男人他们。那个他那个肾上腺一进来之后，他们需要花更久的时间来让自己平复下来。那第五个征兆，也是另外一个非常重要的征兆。第五个征兆叫做那个修好的那个尝试失败。那这个可能是今天另外一个需要记得是这个，就是通常啊，他们研究发现啊。高 EQ 的婚姻跟低 EQ 的婚姻有一个很大的不同，很大的不同。那最大的不同在什么？最大的不同在于高 EQ 的婚姻里面，他们通常会很知道，会很知道，当一个吵架快要结束的时候，通常有一方会给予一个讯息，会给一个 hint。那个讯息就是，我们可以来稍微缓和一下，或稍微结束。那通常比较 EQ 比较低的婚姻呢，就是他们没办法发觉到这一点，就是当有一方想要来缓和或修好的时候，另外一边还是没办法读到这一点。所以这个是一个非常一个重要的关键，就是吵架。吵得快差不多的时候，有一方想要和好的时候，如果另外一方没办法读到他想要和好的一个讯息的时候，这个婚姻就比较难维持，比较难维持。So the next one, the fifth predictor, which is also very crucial in marriage, is that in general, a high emotional intelligent couple, after they fight, usually one of them will try to sort of make up or try to recover. There's an attempt to repair, an attempt to repair, and they usually will give certain cues, you know, like let's take a breath, all right? Let's hold down a second. Oh, I'm feeling overwhelmed. Like, usually one side will give some kind of cues of let's sort of take a break from the fight. Now, the low emotional intelligent couple usually cannot pick up those cues and they will just keep going. So, one want to stop, another one just keep going. That makes sense? Yeah, that doesn't sound good, right? All right, yeah. So, if you cannot pick up the cues, if you cannot pick up the cues, it make it really hard. It make it really hard. So, who are able to pick up the cues? The research shows that 70% of the couples are having what we call very good friendship among each other. So the couples who are good friends with each other, they're much better at picking up the cues. And the couples who tend to have more positive views of each other, they tend to be better at picking up the cues. The couples who don't have that nice friendship, they have a more difficulty seeing the signs of try to repair. 所以这个今天另外一个重点就是除了那个四骑士以外，这个大概是一个非常一个重要的关键，就是夫妻吵架。有一方想要恢复或停的时候啊，要想办法去解读到他这一个重点，就是他给的这个讯息，就是他想要和好的讯息。因为很多时候你如果没读到他这个讯息，你就会一直吵下去。所以这个是好的婚姻跟不好的婚姻。然后最后一个那个征兆啊，就是。通常离婚的夫妻啊，他们对互相在一起的回忆啊，通常是很不好的。 通常是很不好的。就是，哎，你回想一下你们当初，是怎么样约会啊，或是当初你们怎么样在一起啊，或是回想你当初怎么样去旅行啊。婚姻越不好的夫妻啊，他回忆到的都是越是越不好的。那为什么会只有回忆到不好的？因为我们的那个记忆会慢慢的随着时间改变，那我们会慢慢的把好的慢慢的删掉，那不好的慢慢只留不好的，所以会慢慢的想到的都只是不好的。So the last one, the last signs of the last predictor of why marriage is not good is that when you ask those couples who are divorced and to think about what memory they have about their past, like, you know, the first date, first vacation, first dinner, usually what happened when they try to recall what they had, the history, everything they can think of is pretty bad. And why is that? Does that mean they never had good stuff? Not necessarily. It just means that what happened as the relationship goes by, we tend to slowly forget the bad ones. I mean, the good ones, I'm sorry. Yeah, forget the good ones because the relationship. So when we don't like someone, we tend to forget the good stuff and only remember the bad stuff. After all, why do we do that? Because if you have, and this is pretty logical, if I don't like you, and if I want to make this a better belief system, I should delete all the data that doesn't support this belief. So we will slowly delete all the stuff that doesn't make sense to support our belief system. So this is some of the basic signs. So, by the way, how many of you are married? Many of you, and some of you. So if you're not married, why are you sitting here today? 大家都结婚了吗？那你如果没有结婚，今天怎么会坐在这边听我讲的？哎，请问，啊，这是大菩萨，大菩萨。So one person says she want to know more about marriage because just in case friends family needs this kind of information, and yes.Usually, you know, like, usually when people have marriage problem, we don't know what to say. Like, my friends have marriage problem. I don't know what to say. I mean, you know, because it's hard to intervene. It's hard, very hard to intervene. Unless they want you to intervene. Right? 有时候那个，我朋友间也有些也是那个婚姻不怎么样的，但是其实很多时候我也很难帮助他们，因为人家也不要你帮忙。你去帮忙，你只是多事而已啊。对，真的是。所以只能间接的帮忙，就是我讲的这个很大概的东西，希望有一天这些话会传到他那边。So for those who are married, when do you know it's the beginning of the end? You know, like, these are the signs of the beginning of the end. Like, if you see the signs, chances are not, you're like the end of your marriage, okay?Both of you think you have very severe problem. So both of you have this kind of understanding. Very severe. And no matter how much you talk to each other, it seems like nothing's going to happen. Seems useless. So there's a sense of being hopeless. And also you start to have like parallel lives. You start to sort of live on your own. You're more like roommate now, like,you have no idea what's going on with another person. Your wife is doing her thing. You're doing your thing. Your hobby is doing his usual routine. You're doing your usual routine. It seems like everyone's doing their own thing. And finally, there's a sense of loneliness, Okay. And this is, and loneliness is very subjective. You can have like 100 friends.And you still feel lonely. Okay, so loneliness is something subjective. 那这个目前有结婚的我们的菩萨们，你怎么知道你的婚姻大概已经快要结束了？有几个那个征兆，就是 第一，你们觉得你们婚姻问题非常的严重，已经到没有办法解决的目的了。然后另外一点就是，你们觉得不管怎么沟通，好像都是已经都没有效果，都已经没有效果。那你就是变成好像只好自己去解决问题。那第三点就是，你们开始各过各的。 就是你也不知道他，你先生或太太早上起来的时候在做什么，那你也不知道你晚上在做什么。那最后一点是开始觉得很寂寞，开始觉得很寂寞，两边都开始觉得非常的寂寞。所以这个是一些征兆，你如果不去注意的话，是会有危机的。 所以重点是什么呢？重点是今天我们要讲的是呢，请不要轻易的放弃哈，因为很多时候还是有办法去解决的，很多问题是还有办法去解决的。So don't give up just because you see signs of not doing well. Try not to give up. A lot of time, people think that The reason why marriage fails is because people argue. Actually, healthy couples argue all the time. They can have a screaming match. They can scream to each other and the marriage can still be very healthy. A lot of time it's not the argument that make the marriage fail. It's how people argue and how people argue. Did you remember what I said about how people argue? Those four horsemen, right? The four horsemen. Yeah, those are the big signs. Like if you, the way you argue is very critical and very like has a lot of contempt versus just yelling out loud, but at least you're being more specific about something. That could make a huge difference. That can make a huge difference. So before I move on to the next, topic, any questions so far? Did you see any Buddhism in it? 在我们去下一部分之前，我想问一下大家对刚才我们讲的有什么看法？你觉得佛法有帮助吗？对刚才我们讲的东西有帮助吗？Do you think Buddhism can help with to help some of those signs? Yeah, makes sense, right? Minimally, one thing, the very first thing Zen practice can help you to do is to be more precise, right? When we see people, we don't see people as a gen in general, we see people more specific. You know, what you did today is wrong instead of you're a bad person, right? We can see things more clearly, right? We're more specific. And also, we are able to learn to have more, a bit more loving kindness. Just because you're complaining, you still love and care about your spouse, right? So those are some of the things Buddhist practice can help. 所以有些东西佛法是会对我们有帮助的，譬如说我们可以学习比较少，可以批评少一点，但是我们可以抱怨，可以以比较有理性的方式来抱怨，就是可以用比较理性的方式来沟通。 那我们也可以比较有佛法在的时候，我们可以比较有那个慈悲心，就比较不会有那种给人家鄙视对方的感觉。所以其实你学佛法都会间接的帮助到这些东西。Now, Gottman is most famous for his seven principles. The seven principles for making marriage work. So he discovered that couples whose marriage are doing well, they tend to have several principles that make their marriage work. And a lot of time, what makes the marriage work is not so much about the argument, the fight, but it's more about the little things that happen when they're not fighting. Okay, when they're not fighting. So 所以那个 Gottman 他有一个很 他另外一个有名的原因就是他有一个就是所谓的七个原则、七个规则、七个规则，防止婚姻那个失败的七个守则。他是这个，他可能是最有名的一个，最有名的一个他的研究哈。那他发觉啊，很多时候啊，婚姻不好不是因为这些吵架啊，不是因为什么。不是因为什么外遇啊这些东西，其实这些都是已经是婚姻已经结束的时候才会有的东西，而是平常夫妻日常间在做了一些什么，那些是更重要的。小事情，日常生活的小事情，是比这些吵架啊什么东西更重要的。所以那个第一个守则呢，第一个守则，当然在。他这些守则，有些可能我们自己已经在做，有些可能我们还没有在做。但是，婚姻不好的时候，我们老中都喜欢做什么？尤其是算，这个是吗？So, for those who are not Taiwanese, in Taiwan, usually when people have a bad marriage, the very first place they visit is the fortune tellers. So this is not the first principle. This is not part of principle. I mean, this is more for entertainment purpose. I'm sure they do good stuff, but research has not shown that they help to get your marriage better. The first principle is enhance your love map. Enhance your love map. What he meant by that is to know the every single little details of your spouse. The more you know, the better it is. What do your spouse like? What do your spouse don't like? What are his little habits? What are his hobbies? What kind of book he like to read? What kind of movie he likes to see? Right? What kind of food she likes to eat? So Gottman would call this the love maps. The love maps. The more you know about, the more familiar you are with each other's internal world, the better it is. Right? The more you're familiar with each other's internal world, the better it is. 所以第一个守则是好的夫妻，他们通常比较会去分享他们内心的世界。然后那个 Gottman 会叫做爱情的地图啊，就是好像你可以进入到另外一个人的内心里，然后你很知道这个人内心里有什么地方，有什么东西，有哪边是这个人喜欢吃的在哪里，这个喜欢住的在哪里，吃喝穿戴睡你都很清楚很了解，所以这个是一个所谓的爱情地图，爱情地图，所以 Gottman 把这个叫做。爱情地图。So this is the very first thing that all the couples can start with. Try to get to know the little details of each other, the little details of each other. And how do you do that? You find times to share with each others, to get to know each other better, to spend some time to talk to each other. 所以这个要怎么样去培养这个地方呢？就是定时找时间来分享一下自己内心的世界，对对方有好奇心，对对方有多一点好奇心，这是第一点，第一个守则。第二个守则呢，是培养爱慕的情谊哈，其实这个刚才我们讲到那个四骑士，其中一个就是那种轻描，轻描是最严重的嘛。我们刚才讲到这个鄙视对方是最严重，那对鄙视最好的一个化解的东西呢，就是培养友情，培养爱慕的感情，培养爱慕的感情。那这是非常重要的，因为你越对对方有越多正面的管干干干呃观感，你对你的对方越有多的正面观感，你越有办法可以化解吵架之后的一些危机。 那通常好一点的夫妻呢，美好的夫妻呢，通常他们都会比较有美好的回忆。那美好回忆的意思就是他们尽量只记得好的，不会去记一些比较不好的。那通常呢，如果夫妻的回忆没有比较美好的时候呢，它就是一个征兆，它就是一个征兆。So the second principle is also very important because as we mentioned earlier, one of the horsemen is contempt. And the best way to deal with contempt is to really build up friendship with your spouse, to build up fondness and admiration. Learn to admire the greatness of your spouse just like how you would like a good, how you would see a good friend, right? The reason why some people are a good friend of yours is because there's something you really like about them. There's something you really like about them. So try to build this positive image, a more positive image towards each other. And usually when the couples, when they're better at putting a positive spin on their history together, their marriage tend to do much better than couples who sort of only remember the negative of each other. So this is also something that is not very difficult to do, but if you do it on a regular basis, it will help your marriage. That makes sense? Yeah. 那第一个跟第二个其实都是可以从第三个守则去做起。在平常日常生活中，小地方可以去互相关怀。所谓通常那个婚姻，现实的婚姻跟那个连续剧里面的婚姻啊，或电影里面的婚姻是不太一样啊。连那个尤其是美国的那个爱情电影的，这样哇，抱了亲的活着，然后就是好像永远日子就过得特别好了，然后像那个童话故事一样。其实在现实的婚姻里面，那些是占少数的，真正占大数的是一些非常小的生活细节。小生活细节才是让你可以慢慢细水长流，让你的婚姻细水长流。你会注意到一些小小地方，就是你譬如说你的另外一半的一些小东西，他们平常喜欢什么，你就去帮他们做一点。平常都是帮他们做一点，那我所谓的做一点不是说诶今天我做你一点，你明天做我一点，不是这样子，是就是你是很自然的，不是说这样要一定要公平说，哦，我今天做你做三件你喜欢的事情，你明天要做我三件喜欢的事情。尽量去找一些小地方小东西，就是你知道另外一半很喜欢的，然后去帮他们做一下小事情，其实就是很简单很简单的小事情。那譬如说你知道你的那个另一半喜欢看电影，那你就是偶尔买一片 DVD 给他看，说你看这个东西不错，你看这个东西不错，可以看一下。所以其实这种小事情啊，你慢慢累积下来会有很大的效果。那 Gottman 是把这个东西叫做那个感情的银行账户啊，有点像婚姻好不好，有点是要去储蓄的。这些小事情有点像是存钱，你平常都在存钱，平常都在存钱，所以吵架的时候啊，就是在领钱啊，在领钱。吵得对的话，你就领少一点；那乱吵的话，你就是一次就领很多哈。那你就如果每次都吵很大的话，你几次就领完了。那你平常又不存钱的话，一下就什么都没了。So, the third principle is what Gottman called, learning to turn toward each other instead of away from each other. What that means is the real marriage in the real world is very different than those Hollywood movies. You know, it's not like they kiss each other and they have this compassionate love and everything gonna be okay. It's not so much about that. It's a lot about little stuff every day. For example, you like to drink coffee and your wife knows that and she will prepare that for you. very little things. And you try to do that for each other. You know what are the little things your wife like, and you do it for her. And she will do it for you. But it's not sort of like you have to be like equal kind of thing. Like today I did three things for you, then tomorrow you should do three things for me. It's not like that. It's like you do it naturally, like you do a little thing, you try to figure, and because you have the love map, right? Remember, you have the love map, so you know what are the things, little things the other person like. And then you would try to do a little bit every day. If he or she likes chocolate, you get some chocolate for them, right? Things like that. And Gottman would call this like the sort of the couple's emotional bank account. The way you conceptualize it is this. It's every day those little things that you do, it's like putting the money in the emotional bank. And when you have like a big fight or something, you're withdrawing the money from the bank. If you have a good fight, then you take out a little bit. If you have a bad fight, you take out a lot. And when you only have bad fight and you don't put in any money every day, you will be bankrupt pretty fast. So this is sort of what he meant by turn toward each other instead of away. So try to find to do little things for each other that will be helpful. The fourth one the third one, in continuation with turn toward each other instead of away, is usually a good couple tend to have good conversation with each other. What does good conversation mean? Good conversation means that after you finish having that discussion, you tend to feel better, not worse. Okay, so that's the principle. After you have a discussion, a conversation every day, you actually feel somewhat better, not feel worse. So it's stress reducing, not enhancing, not enhancing. And 所以另外一点就是小怎么样互相关怀呢？就是通常好那个夫妻啊，他们感情不错的时候，通常他们会常常有机会。跟对方聊天，而且聊天的重点啊，这个是最重要的重点。讲完之后，你觉得压力有减低，而不是说讲完之后你更生气。这是非常重要的哈。所以不管怎么样讲，就是讲到最后，只要大家心里舒服就好。好，不是有时候那个回家啊。你原本已经很难过了，工作已经很不顺了，然后回来之后讲完之后，你听得更不顺了，因为你讲完之后，今天这个发生，我今天做这个事情很不好，然后另外一个就说啊，你干嘛这样做？让自己感觉更难过哈。所以他有一些，当然这是有怎么样让大家讲得更舒服，有一些技巧，譬如说。尽量轮流说话，不是只有一边在说话。很多时候我们在对话的时候，只有一边喜欢讲，另外一边都没讲到。然后在讲的时候，有一种真正去关怀的感觉，那其实这个都是不一定的，它有很多，这个方法有很多。但是重点是讲完之后，会有让另外一方面感觉有比较好一点的感觉。So there are many ways of having a good conversation. So basically, the principle is have a good conversation that will help your other half to feel less stressful after the conversation, not more stressful. And there are many ways of doing so. But in general, I think one of the key aspects is loving kindness. The fact is that you truly genuinely care about what another person have to say, and you truly have an empathic understanding of what's going on with another person without judgment, that will help you to have a better conversation. So these are the third principle. The fourth principle is let your partner influence you. What that means is, you know, both of us are different. And what makes a marriage work is both are learning to adapt to another half. Okay. So it's very important that you learn to yield a little bit. You learn to yield a little bit. Right? It's like when we drive in the city, when people are fixing the road in the front of you, you could just sit there and wait till they finish fixing the road, or you can learn to yield. Right? So Gutman would call this like yielding to win. So learn to sort of share. So, and this is more for husband. A lot of time men tend to hold on to decision making, and they tend to do less power sharing. And research show that when husband tend to share more of their power and decision making with their wife, the marriage tend to be better that way. 所以另外一个守则就是学习去让另外一半来影响你。很多时候因为我们婚姻是两个很不同的人在一起，所以我们要学习去让对方，就学习可以让对方影响到我们的，或是去接受，学习去让，就是不要太坚持自己的意见，就是不要太坚持自己的一些看法。那当然这一点对很多时候是先生更重要，因为很多时候先生比较不会去那个分享权利，或是跟老婆一起做决策。很多时候有些先生就是自己就做决定，所以如果你可以学习去分享怎么样做决定跟做那个决策的时候，婚姻可以比较美满。那研究也发现，当那个丈夫比较可以接受妻子的影响力的时候呢，当那个妻子提出比较棘手的婚姻问题的时候，开场白通常都比较不会尖锐。所以这个是一个，那而且更重要的是，当丈夫可以比较可以去接受妻子的影响的时候，他们的友情会比较深。So when the husband are willing to share their decision making and power a bit more, the wife are less likely to have a harsh startup when they're having some difficult conversation. And also when the husband are able to share power, the friendship between each other tend to be more. The friendship is more. And also there are certain other stuff. For example, nowadays women also work, so men should share some housework. Traditionally men don't do a thing. They work and usually wives stay home. That's the traditional route. But nowadays it's a little bit different. So learn to share responsibility. That's also important. And also one thing that's important, over 80% of time, when there's a problem in the marriage, it's usually the wife that raised the question, and the husband sort of dodged the question 80% of the time. And that goes to either good marriage or bad marriage. So either way, even when you have a good marriage, it's still 80%, or bad marriage, the same. One of the key things though that helps the discussion goes better is when they are willing to sort of share decision making. So Gutman would call this sort of yielding to win. 所以那个现在啊年代也不一样。很多时候啊，那个男生比较不做家事啊， 以后现在可能要多做一点家事，因为以前男生都是工作嘛，女生都在家，那现在女生也在外工作，所以男生如果学一点，比较就是可以一起跟太太做那个决策啊，做一点家事啊，通常愿意分享点权利啊，通常对婚姻会好一点。那这个婚姻啊，也通常有80%的时候啊。比较棘手的婚姻问题是那个太太提出来的，那这个是不管在好的或坏的婚姻都是一样的。那通常丈夫是比较被动的角色，但是这个重点啊，不是在于提出棘不棘手的问题，而是在于当丈夫比较会礼让，那或是当双方会比较礼让对方的时候，你这个问题会比较容易解决，这个问题会比较容易解决。So, before we move on to the fifth principle, let's talk a little bit about conflict. In general, in a marriage, there are basically two types of conflict. And basically, what are those two types? The first type, not solvable. The second type, solvable. So again, there are mainly two types of problem in the marriage. The first type, no solution. The second type, there's a solution. Okay. And the one that's hard to solve, we just call it gridlock. Gridlock. So the first type, gridlock. The second type, solvable problem. In general, in a marriage, which one do you think there's more? Solvable? Nah. Most of the problem, yeah. Actually, to be exact, 69% of the problem are usually gridlocks. 69%. Okay? In a marriage. And here is a crucial point Gottman pointed out. You don't need to solve those gridlocks to have a good marriage. That's a little bit different than what conventionally people think. It's like if you have a problem, you have to solve it. Actually, you don't have to. Okay, very important point. A lot of time, people think that you have to solve the gridlock. No, you don't. 所以这个婚姻里面有两类冲突啊，基本上有两大类。第一大类，没有办法解决的问题；第二大类，可以解决的问题。所以再讲一次哦，基本上婚姻有两种问题。第一种问题就是那种永久的问题，你一辈子都会有的问题，叫做永久的，永远都会在那边的。第二种问题是可以解决的问题，那永久的问题比可以解决的问题还多，而且 Gottman 可以计算出来，有69%的问题基本上在一个婚姻里面都是那种没有办法解决的问题，没有办法解决的问题，所以。这是第一点，第二点更重要的是，第二点更重要的是那个，冈本发现啊，好的婚姻啊，不是说所有婚姻的问题都解决的，你不一定要去解决这些婚姻的问题，这些没办法永，你没办法解决的问题，你不用一定要解决它才会有好的婚姻。所以这是他一个研究的一个比较大的发现哈。那但是你没办法去解决它，是不是代表你就不要去理它？也不是，而是说你怎么样，你这个婚姻怎么样跟这些没办法解决的问题相处，才是重点，才是重点。怎么样，夫妻怎么样学习去跟这个没办法解决的问题去相处，才是目标，才是目标。So, the key point about the gridlocks, the key point about the gridlocks is that you don't have to solve them to have a good marriage. You don't have to solve them to have a good marriage. However, it does not mean that you just leave it there either. It does not mean just leave it there either. What it means is that if the smart couple, they tend to have a better ways of coping with those unsolvable problems. They learn how to live with it. They learn how to live with it. So the best example of learning how to live with it would be, you know, people have like back or arthritis the rest of their life. They're not going away. They're not going away anytime soon. But just because you have a bad back, it does not mean you don't do a thing about it. You actually learn to do something about it to make yourself feel better. You adapt to it. 所以那个对付这种没有办法解决的婚姻问题啊，没有办法解决的婚姻问题啊，就有点像要对付那个背痛一样。有时候我们的背痛是一辈子啦，或是我们那个关节炎啊，关节炎是一辈子啊。那就是，但是就算你有关节炎，不一定是说你一辈子就不用快乐了嘛，不是这样讲。你学习去跟他怎么相处。所以一个聪明的夫妻，聪明的夫妻啊，他们会学习去跟这些没办法解决的问题生活在一起。这是一个他发掘最重要的重点。所以第一个，所以他的第五跟第六个守则啊，就是在于怎么样去跟这两大类的问题，去解决这两大类的冲突。那守则五呢，就是第一，你要知道哪些问题是比较可以解决的，哪些问题是比较不能解决的。那要知道哪些问题比较可以解决，哪些问题比较不能解决，其实最重要的关键还是在前面几个守则。你知道有些问题它为什么比较不能解决，是因为它有碰触到一些人的核心的问题，有些比较没有碰触到你的一些人的核心问题。所谓的核心问题是什么？所谓的核心问题就是今天你们在吵那个挤牙膏啊，大家都听过这个嘛，吵挤牙膏啊，或者是吵，像我就听过一个吃花生的，大家吃花生吗？那个花生有吃法是怎么样？你咬开，然后就一粒一粒拿出来嘛。那有一个先生就是喜欢花生先咬开，然后把花生放在旁边，然后咬开很多之后呢，再把一堆把抓起来一口吃下去哈。那太太就看得很不习惯，太太是喜欢一次开一个，然后一次吃完一次，然后他们就开始讨论这个东西，然后每次都在吵你为什么吃花生你要这样，那我就一定喜欢这样，那其实那最后就吵到离婚了哈。那当然他这个东西啊绝对跟花生是没有关系的，这个你一定要了解。那为什么跟花生没有关系？是因为这个花生的背后跟一个人的梦想、一个人的人生观有很大的关系。所以你要怎么知道哪些问题是解决得了，哪些问题解决不了，你一定要了解你对方的梦想跟对方的人生观，你才能比较知道要怎么去解决这个问题。 So just to the first step to deal with this kind of problem is that you need to know what are solvable or not solvable. And the way to know what are solvable and what are not solvable is that you need to know each other's really deeper meaning and feelings. Knowing each other's dreams, because a lot of time the problems has a lot to do with a deeper meaning of the person instead of what on the surface. So for example, the way you squeeze the toothpaste. Squeeze from the top, squeeze from the bottom. Sometimes that might be seen as a simple problem, but has a lot to do with how you view what's one's meaning of life, or how one views their marriage. It has much deeper meaning behind it. So it's not necessarily an easy solvable problem. So to deal with the solvable problem, Gottman observe that the couples who are good at solving their problems, they tend to do several things. The first thing is they do is they tend to have a softer startup. The way they start their discussion tend to be much softer, much nicer, much nicer. 所以我们要去解决可以解决的问题或不能解决的问题啊。 第一要先去了解什么是可以解决的问题，什么是不能解决的问题。那可以解决的问题呢？ Gottman 他发觉啊，那个有些他们比较夫妻比较可以去讨论这些解决的问题，他们有一些模式啊，他们有一些处理的模式。第一个模式就是他们通常比较会比较有软，比较那个开场白啊是比较和蔼的，比较软的啊，不是一种很尖锐的开场白啊。那所谓比较软化的开场白啊，就是譬如说。 那这个也很多，他那Gottman也很多建议啦，譬如说措辞要客气啊，讲要有一点比较表达要感激啊，或是不要一次积压不满，不要积压到很多不满啊，再一次宣泄出来啊，然后开头是比较以用我来开头，而不是说用你来开头，用你来开头。所谓的用我来开头就是。 不是你的开场白，不是说啊你怎么这么样，怎么你怎么这样，而是说啊，我感觉不是很舒服，因为你刚才做了这件事情，以这种方式的开场白会比较好一点。So again, there are several things that people do to solve the problem, and it has a lot to do with how they deal with how they start the discussion. So good couple then tend to have a softer startup, less harsh. They complain, but they don't blame, right? They don't sort of criticize, and they usually start with I more than you, and as well as they tend to be more clear, they're more polite. Another thing that you do is once you start with a softer startup, if the Once the discussion get going, you learn to make and receive repair attempt, which this is the crucial part. Again, as I mentioned earlier, when the good couple fights, after they finish fight, one of them will try to repair the discussion. Okay. And we all have our ways of repairing the discussion. And in fact, couples can develop their cues together, some of the ways of repair. For example, one way is, oh, I need to calm down. So that might be a hint of let's cut it short. Let's redo this later. I need to calm down a little bit, right? I need to take a break. So that would be an example of repair attempt. Okay. 所以另外一个重点呢，是更重要的重点，就是呢。 当你吵架的时候，你要学习说，当有一方想要有一个那个和好的讯息发出来的时候，你要学习会去察觉到这个想要和好的讯息，想要学习和好的讯息，而不是说，譬如说其中一方想要已经要开始想要和好了，但是你没有察觉，你还要继续吵，你要继续吵，所以。 这个大概是另外一点非常重要，就是学习到可以去听到想要和好的讯息。那譬如说一个例子就是，哦，我需要冷静下来，我们等一下再来讨论。那这个是一个比较可以和好的讯息，那你要学习去察觉到它，然后去接受它。然后 and once you receive the repair attempt, once you realize someone want to sort of repair the relationship. You take a break and you try to learn to soothe yourself and soothe each other. Right. Do some to sort of comfort a little bit. First, you learn to comfort yourself. And there are many ways to comfort yourself. If you like to meditate, you can meditate a little bit. But usually for beginner, you should meditate right after your fight because you'd be just sitting there like pretty pissed off. All right. So you learn to take a walk, you know, take a walk. Right, do something you like to do a little bit, right? And then, if possible, you can soothe each other a little bit. Oh, that was a bad fight, you know. I think we both need to calm down a little bit. Okay. 所以另外一点就是, 当大家已经学习到，当大家已经看到，另外一方想要和好了，就学习停下来，然后第一先学习安抚自己。那安抚自己有很多种方式，当然禅坐也是一种方式，但是可能刚吵完架不是最好禅坐的时候哈。但是学习去走个下，走一下路，或者是做一些让自己喜欢做的事情，然后之后来再互相学习安抚对方。第四点就是学习去妥协，那这是两方都需要的。那这个妥协呢，就是以刚才我们讲的第四基础为原则，就是学习去让对方影响，所以一定要有妥协。妥协是非常重要。So, the fourth, another point is, once you learn to soothe each other, you need to come up some kind of compromise, right? It's not always going to be like one person change. Both need to do some kind of modification and some kind of change. Let each other influence each other, right? And be able to tolerate each other's fault. Be able to tolerate each other's fault. We all gonna have faults.So you have to learn to sort of understand why that person have that mistake. So it's very important, learning to tolerate each other. 所以最后就是当你可以互相安抚之后，可以学习去妥协，去学习去让对方改变对方。就像刚才我们讲的，学习让对方影响对方，让我们每个人都可以妥协。然后再来就是学习，一定要学习去包容另外一个人的缺点。学习去包容另外一个人的缺点，我们每个人都是有缺点的，不可能每个人是没有缺点的。所以怎么样去学习去包容你的那个另一半的缺点，也是一个需要做的功课。So, these are the solvable one. And the sixth principle. The sixth principle is to learn to overcome gridlock.To overcome gridlock. The way to deal with gridlock is not to solve the problem. It's not to solve the gridlock. Your goal is not to solve the gridlock. You should see the gridlock. And I would say this is more like, you can see the gridlock more like a koan. In Zen, we have koans. Unsolvable problems. And the way you deal with it is to be curious about it. You face it. You face that gridlock. And you want to have a dialogue about that gridlock, because the gridlock is not just about a gridlock. The gridlock has meanings. So you are interested to figure out the means behind it. In fact, every gridlock is a conflict of dreams. I have a dream and you have a dream.We all have our own dreams about who we wish to be, who we want to do. So the reason why there's gridlock is really the conflict of dreams. So the gridlock is an opportunity. It's an entry point. And I remember one of the Chan masters said, the most difficult point is the entry point to Dharma. Right? So the gridlock is the most difficult point in a marriage, and it's also an entry point to learn each other better.Right, to learn each other better. And what do you want? What can you learn from each other? Both of your dreams and wishes and meanings in life. Right? The more you know about the dreams, the more you're able to have compassion towards each other. The more you have compassion towards each other, the more your wisdom opens up. So compassion and wisdom are together. Okay. 所以第六个原则是怎么样与永久的问题和平相处。那刚才我讲到，基本上七成的婚姻问题是没办法解决的，七成的问题是没办法解决的。但是没办法解决不是说你就是放在那边，而是说你可以把这个没办法解决的问题把它当做一个公案来看。公案是一个没办法解决的，但是就算没办法解决，你还是有办法去学习去面对它。你要对这个问题很有兴趣，你学习去看它。看什么呢？其实这些没办法解决的问题呢，它的最根深层的原因呢，就是夫妻两个人的梦想有冲突。其实就是这样子，我的梦想是当白马王子，然后另外一个人的梦想是要当木兰花木兰啊，那个电影啊。所以你这个基本上，如果两个人的 我的梦想是我要有一个白雪公主的妻子，那另外一个妻子是想要当花木兰的时候，你这个就是有冲突啊。所以这些永久的问题呢，它是一个可以让你进去去深入了解对方的梦想的一个契机。所以那个我记得那个大慧中高禅师有讲过，得力处就是省力处，那个最困难的地方就是。可以最切入的地方，所以这个可以是有点像有一个婚姻的话头，婚姻的一个公案，怎么样学习去面对这个话头与公案，怎么样跟他相处，我觉得这个最重要。重点是当你越深入的时候，你可以越发觉哦，原来对方是的梦想，对方的希望，对方的人生观是这样子的。那当你开始慢慢了解对方的梦想与人生观的时候，你就可以到第七个重点了。就是一起，那这是婚姻的重点，就是一起可以去创造共同的人生意义。婚姻不是只是在友情而已，而是婚姻是可以让我们一起去共同有个人生的意义。所以人生的意义，如果夫妻的人生意义越相似，婚姻基本上会越好。那这个有很多。方法可以去创立这个人生的意义，但是这个要花时间去了解对方。So once we learn about each other's dream, the next step, which is the last principle, is learn to build a dream together, right? Learn to share a meaning of life together, right? If your meaning of life is this and my meaning of life is that, how can we combine together and to have something share with each other? So I think that's probably the most important point and the deepest point is learn to know each other's dream and learn to build a new one. Right? Modify each other's and learn to have a new one. Right? What kind of family do you want? What kind of role do you want? What kind of life do you want? Right? What are the share symbol together? So these are the seven principles. And finally, the last point I want to make is the magic 5 hours. Usually, Gottman realized that a good couple, they usually only spend about 4 or 5 hours a week to maintain their marriage. So it's not a lot. It's actually not a lot. They only spend 4 or 5 hours. And he actually break it down for you. He actually break it down for you. For example, in the morning, when you separate in the morning, you actually know what each others are doing. Hey, what are you doing today? For example, are you eating, having lunch with your boss? Are you calling your friend? Are you going to see doctors? That takes about 2 minutes a day. Right? He break down, right? 2 minutes a day spent on knowing what the hell's going on with each other. And when you come home at night, you spend about 20 minutes having a good conversation. You spend about 20 minutes. A good conversation means that after the conversation, you feel better. Okay, that's the point. It's not like you feel worse. So the point is to make each other feel better after the 20 minutes. Right. So and you do that 5 days a week. All right, that's probably what, like 100 minutes. The third thing you do is you spend about another 5 minutes a day. Saying good things towards each other. Okay, saying good things toward each other. Like, oh, I like you about this. And don't be shy, you know, like some old traditional men, they like just to keep it quiet. You're good, you know. Yeah, do be more compassionate or be more passionate. Like saying good stuff. Oh, I like the way you dress. I like the way you look. I like X, Y, and Z. All right. It's harder than I mean, you know, it's easier said than done, of course, because after a while you run out of adjectives, you know, of what to say, but that's something you can do 5 days a week. 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week. Then finally, you want to show affection a day. Every day you spend another 5 minutes showing affection. Affection means that, you know, when you sleep, kiss goodnight, right? Hugging each other a little bit. Right, throughout the day, you spend another 5 minutes doing that. Then try to have a week date, about 2 hours, have a date with each other once a week. So when you add up all those times, 5 hours. 所以那个 Gottman 啊， 他发觉啊，那个成功的夫妻啊，一个礼拜最多只做五件五，最多差不多只花四五个小时在维持婚姻啊。那基本上他那个五个小时都在做什么？这个一个礼拜。那第一就是早上分开的时候啊，你知道对方要做什么？哎，你今天要做什么？你要去哪？你要跟老板吃饭吗？你要跟朋友聊天吗？那一天这个差不多两分钟而已嘛，然后一天一个礼拜五天。然后再来就是回家相聚的时候啊，尽量有一个好的一个聊天啊。那这个所谓的好的聊天啊，就是讲完之后大家会感觉舒服啊，不是聊完之后大家感觉更难过，所以这个是很重要的。那这个差不多一天二十分钟，那一个礼拜五天。那再来就是啊，尽量讲一些喜欢或欣赏对方的话。肉麻一点没关系哈，对这个，但至少一天只要花五分钟的时间讲一些肉麻的话呢，喜欢对方的话呢，你就已经可以维持你的婚姻了。那这也是五分钟一天，一个礼拜五天。那再来就是深情那个款款深情哦，就是除了讲一些肉麻的东西呢。你要记得晚上，譬如说一天下来，也记得要亲一下对方，抱一下对方啊，摸一摸对方啊，帮对方按按摩啊，这些比较亲密的举止，那你也不用做太多，五分钟就够了。然后一个礼拜五天啊，然后最后就是一周要约会一次，然后一次差不多两小时就够了。所以你这样加起来，然后发觉你差不多这样子也才差不多。一个礼拜五小时，你只要做这五小时的时间，你还有可以做你自己很多事情，对不对？你可以打坐啊，每天打坐，那打完坐之后记得做这些事情，你再回去再继续打坐都可以哈。所以这个是一个很重要的，所以这个是最后的五小时。So basically, these are about five hours to maintain. And finally, I think I want to share with what Sifu have to say about marriage.Again, I think what Sifu have to say about marriage is, what I mentioned earlier. What Sifu said about marriage is that the fundamental problem, again, is that we usually don't understand ourselves and we tend to throw the problem to another person. So we should try to utilize some charm practice. The more we use charm practice, the more we understand ourselves. And once you understand yourself better,It's much easier, right? If you don't even understand your own dream, why would you expect your spouse to understand your dream, right? As we mentioned earlier, the conflict of dreams. So it's very important to understand yourself. And so to work on yourself, you already solve a whole bunch of problems.要有 solve a whole bunch problem， 所以这个我就不用再翻译了，因为这师父已经讲得很清楚啊。基本上就是如果禅修的话呢。一定是对婚姻有帮助的。那我想我今天就讲到这边，谢谢大家。So I think I'm ending here today. Thank you very much.